The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
These days, I've been thinking about a phrase that Gil used almost 2 weeks ago in a talk, and it was conditioned consciousness. And I thought, what? That sounds good to explore. He was thinking of consciousness as awareness or attention, he said. And so we can explore how it can be conditioned, and also how our consciousness affects our experience. So what experience can influence our general awareness? I was thinking that sometimes factors that are beyond our control condition our awareness. In the long run, for example, illness can shape awareness. These days, I'm sitting with a sister who has been in bed since the end of August, and she's responsive and talks a little bit, and I get the feeling she's simply waiting for what comes next. And then I thought, I'm waiting for what comes next all the time. So the physical capacity could limit what the mind can do. On the other hand, sometimes a change in physical capacity can shift our thoughts to what has deeper meanings for us. And then physical injury is similar to illness in that respect. It can affect our sense of identity. I can't do this. I can do that. It can limit our behaviors. And it could also lead us to explore new activities. And then in areas that are beyond our own personal health, a change in our living situation or in relationships can influence us very greatly. You may have experienced this. The moving away or the death or illness of a loved one often surfaces in us strong emotions such as loss and grief. And the opposite movement can occur if we develop a new relationship or a friendship or enter into a loving relationship. It can change our awareness. Another example is if we experience some conflict with a family member or maybe a colleague or a close friend, our consciousness can be shaped. We could be discomforted. We can be anxious. We might be competitive. We might be confused. And we might focus our thinking on, well, it's all about me. Pretty narrow. But if a conflict that we already have is resolved by a change in circumstances, we might experience calm and peace. And we might be more open to other people who have different views from ours. Then I also thought about financial stability or insufficiency. That can also greatly influence our attention. The presence or the absence of shelter, food, or medical care affects us very greatly. So the conditions I've thought of and mentioned so far are environmental to a great degree. They usually aren't something that we usually choose, clearly. Maybe we acted without reflection or knowledge or with scanty information. For example, some illnesses are a result of our behavior, or the situations might be caused by things completely beyond our control. In this case, What we may have is some choice about how we respond, but we haven't deliberately initiated the situation. So now I looked at other scenarios. We can identify times when we really clearly have played a part in shaping our consciousness. We may have been hurt by a comment or an action of someone we know well, and emotionally, the hurt may give rise in us to anger or fear. As the saying goes, our mind could have a mind of its own. And strong, difficult emotions can color our perception, how we see other communications, maybe from that person, maybe from other people as well. It's really hard for us to see clearly when we have feelings of separation or alienation. Hurt or anger or fear could escalate into an attitude of blame or even ill will toward the person involved. What do we do in a situation like this? We look for relief, and we might seek redirection in meditation, something we chose to do today. Or we might ask advice from a trusted friend or from a teacher. And our efforts might open us to a new state of awareness, and we can begin again. Another example is that worry might be a hindrance to clear seeing. A specific situation can lead us just to an ongoing state of agitation. Our worry may be based on a strong desire that a certain outcome may happen, or there are certain things that should happen and other things that shouldn't happen. We might believe there's a right outcome or a wrong outcome, and then we end up worrying about it, and our attitude might be very rigid. And in this case, what do? We can explore our desires and our beliefs, and then we may get to a more realistic and peaceful approach. Now, if we experience either hurt or worry or any of the other hindrances also, we can inquire, is our general awareness restricted or not? Then we have the opportunity to move our consciousness, and we go for greater clarity and openness. And so far, I've thought of places where our experience affects our consciousness, but of course, the dynamic can flow in the opposite direction. Our consciousness may condition how we experience reality. I'm imagining, okay, one person might say to another, are you in a bad mood today? I think it's more common that someone might say to a friend, watch out for what's her name, she's in a bad mood today. And on the other hand, someone might say, you really must be wearing rose-colored glasses to see that event so positively. On a simple level, a physical one of cause and effect, I had two cataracts removed a few years ago. One eye was done, and then 3 weeks later, the second one. During the 3 weeks, I kind of entertained myself by closing one eye and leaving the other open, closing that eye and leaving the other closed. It turns out when I looked through the eye that had not received a new clear lens, it was kind of golden. I thought it was beautiful. And then when I looked through the eye that had the new clear lens, I saw vibrant colors as they really are. So that's a case where a simple example of something physical leads us to a different perception of our whole world. And so the new clear lens revealed reality. Our consciousness can also condition our thoughts and our emotions. We might ignore anything that doesn't fit our expectations. Or we could imagine things that aren't really part of the situation at all. Our fantasies might have no basis in reality. Gil said to me once, "That's delusion." And I've used that little sentence so often since then, I'm grateful. Or sometimes we might be obsessing. In either case, we might be very creative. Then sometimes we're in a situation with two or more people, and individuals see the situation very differently. I'm thinking of our country's experience these days before the November election. People have views and perceptions that are strongly opposed to one another. And I was thinking, someone from another country might listen to our conversations and say, "Are you really talking about the same person or the same political party?" So it's also very difficult to see clearly when our consciousness has a strong component of clinging or attachment, or of aversion or hostility, or of confusion. In contrast, when our consciousness is open and expansive, we are really free. Our best qualities and our best values have the space that they need to operate and flourish. We can be peaceful and appreciative and kind and loving and generous. Basically, we can be happy. So these are some thoughts that I had about conditions of consciousness coming and going. And maybe you can think of your own examples. And we have 3 minutes for any comments you would like to make or questions ask, and we'll pass around the microphone. What's up with you? First person who jumps up gets it. Richard.
No, I'm going to give it to somebody.
Would someone like the microphone? Okay, that's fine too. We can talk informally if you like, or just think about things, or give our attention to something different altogether. So now we have a time to serve the whole community by our mindfulness action. Nana will lead us.
Thank you, Yuri. We're transitioning to 15 minutes of mindful cleaning. And at the end, you'll hear a bell. And at that point, I put things away and come and join us for closing at the social at the parking lot. Okay? Can I have 4 people to clean restrooms? 1, 2, 3. Okay, we can go with 3. That's okay. We'll just go. And then may I have 1 person to vacuum here? Thank you, Richard. 1 person to sweep the social hall. Thank you. And 1 person to take out the recycling. Very good. And 1 person to tidy up the kitchen. Thank you, Diana. Kitchen, refrigerator. And do we have any more volunteers? Yeah. How about the cleaning of the glass door, and then the glass part of the entrance of the center? And I'm available for orientation, how to do that. Thank you.